joy to the world. We thank you, Lord, we're here to remember that. And thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hark the herald angels sing. Oh,
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the child to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will to all the people. Today in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the hosts of the Lord appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what they had to say. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Grace for the redeemed, the good and blessed. wonder and glory when the crown is won. Jesus is now the star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Beautiful star. Unto the land of perfect day, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Well,
the young people in our audience today, they just can't wait to get home. Christmas starts after all this is over. When I was a young kid, we went to a small church for Christmas Eve, and I used to think the preacher had the longest sermons I'd ever heard in my life. And I thought he just did it to aggravate all the kids in the congregation. But he didn't, did he? I want to share something about exchange. Some of you are looking forward to it, and many of you moms and dads, you have a gift receipt, and you'll give it in case it doesn't work. You'll let the person exchange it out, and you just kind of look forward to that. But think about the things that we exchange in life and what we would like. If at this Christmas, if I could exchange my hair for Kevin's, I'd go for it. If I could exchange my body for a bodybuilder's body, I think I'd go for that too. And if I could just trim down, you know what? That'd be something I would jump at. And there's probably a lot of things in your life you would exchange if you could. But what if you were to exchange something far deeper than that? There are things in your life that you probably think about. If I could exchange all the worries I have tonight, and if I could exchange all the burdens that I have tonight, that would be a good exchange. I want to share with you for just a few minutes, if you will, what Jesus had to say. And what Jesus says is this: I'm going to give you an opportunity to exchange your worries for peace in your life. Now, we're worried about a lot of things. Some of you ladies are thinking, do we have enough milk and bread? And you know, at 4:30, Pat had to go get decaffeinated coffee. We didn't have enough. She's thinking about those things. You're thinking about the gifts that you're going to give away and the things that you're doing. Some of you guys are thinking, my goodness, Christmas jumped on us real quick, and New Year's is going to be here, and that credit card bill is coming, and, you know, I'm kind of worried about that. But what about all the other worries you have the other 11 months? Do you worry a lot? Do you think a lot about the things that you can't change? Now, when I speak of worry, I'm not talking about anxiety that's caused by a traumatic experience, and I'm not talking about depression. But I'm talking about allowing your mind to be, if you will, to dwell on the negative things in life you can't change. We worry about a lot of those things, don't we? Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, said, guys, you got it all wrong. He said, when you worry about things, it's unnatural. He says, the birds don't worry about where they're going to eat, or the animals. God takes care of them, and you look at all the things that God does for them, and they don't worry. He says, it's not helpful. He says, I don't care how much you worry, you can't change it. You can't add an inch to your height. You can't have more hair. Now, Bosley may be able to help you on that one. Two of my elders told me that the other day. I don't know if they were going to pay for it or not, but they said, Ron, that's an option. It's unhelpful. Do you know that 85% of all the things you worry about never happen? They never happen. They just don't. Only 15% of the things that you worry about happen, and you can't change them anyway if you wanted to. Jesus said they're unchristian. If you're a Christian today, what he says is you're acting like a person who doesn't know God, who doesn't have a Heavenly Father, who doesn't think their Heavenly Father can take care of them. Roy Bennett said, now listen to this, guys. No amount of regretting can change the past. Spent a lot of time with regrets? We have, haven't we? And he said, no amount of worrying can change the future. Jesus says, you want to make an exchange? I can help you with that. He says, focus upon the things of God and you'll have peace. Now, what did Paul tell us about this? Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. In other words, tonight, what he's saying, Paul is saying is this. Tell God what your worry is. Tell Him. Speak to Him. And secondly, remember what He has done for you. Once we look at the good in our life, sometimes it brings us back to focus. Paul says, if you give your hurts to God, God is going to provide comfort for you. Do you know that God is the God of all compassion and comfort? Let me read from 2 Corinthians for you. Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we may comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. He says He's the ultimate source of compassion. He's the Father of compassion. See, compassion is not sympathy. Sympathy, I feel sorry for you. Compassion means I'm going to do something about it. I will do something about it physically or mentally or spiritually or whatever it takes to alleviate your pain. The Bible tells us that God's compassion is remarkable. He said, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Jesus said, I'll have compassion for you. I will comfort you. Jesus exemplified compassion in His life, didn't He? I told the story, you remember when Lazarus died and Jesus went to see Mary and Martha? And He knew He was going to do a great miracle, but what did He do? He cried with them at the death of His friend. You remember when Jesus was teaching and the 5,000 came and it was late in the evening and He realized that these guys were hungry? And instead of sending them off, He told His disciples, we're going to feed them. He fed 5,000 people. He had compassion on them. And when He looked at the masses of people, He had compassion for them and taught them. See, He comforts us in our times of need, our times of trouble. And we're not left to face our trials alone. He simply says, I'm going to be with you. He says, I'm going to give you courage and I'm going to help you cope with the situation you're in. But here's the thing about it. If you're a believer tonight and God has comforted you in any way, shape, or form, He says, you're the person to comfort someone else. That's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to show is your comfort to others. See, it's linked to our experiences in life. For someone who's lost a maid, they're to comfort someone else who has lost one. For someone who's lost a child, they're the best person to comfort someone else who's lost a child. For someone who's gone through divorce, they're the best person to comfort someone else who's going through the crisis. Your experiences in life is what God uses to bless other people. And He expects us to comfort those around us. And how do we do that? Let me just give you three quick things. Walk alongside them. Walk alongside them. Talk to them. Be there for them. Call them. Text them. Whatever you do. Facebook it. Just touch their life. And say, hey, I'm here for you. Walk with them. Acknowledge their sadness and say, I'm sorry. Pray for them. But here's an invitation I want to share in closing today. This is Jesus' greatest invitation to you. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, I want to make an exchange with you tonight. I want to take the burdens and the things that you have in life. For some of you, you're weary. It hasn't been a good year for you. And you just can't wait to get in 2020. Says, God, I just want to get to the new year and leave 19 behind us, because it's been a hard year. Some of you are pressed as if it's a press against your soul. He says, God, Jesus says, I want to exchange that for you. I want to walk with you. See, the invitation that He's offered is not to good people. It's to the people that you think aren't good enough. Oh, in fact, that's all of us, isn't it? Jesus wants to make this partnership with every one of us. He says, I want to partner with you. Listen to what He said. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what? We don't understand that terminology. That's a yoke. That means nothing to us. We see these big tractors pulling it. But in Jesus' day, the people understood exactly what Jesus was talking about. It was the yoke that hooked two oxen that would simply plow the fields or pull the wagon. And what He's saying to them is this. He says, when I get on the other side with you, I'm going to share your burden. Do you know that yoke allows those oxen to simply pull a lot more than they could by themselves? What He's partnering, He says, you know, He's going to lighten our load. I'm going to walk with you. You won't be walking alone. Now, Jesus didn't say we didn't have to work at it. He never told, you know, the oxen, when they put the yoke on them, they didn't say, hey, we can just goof off. But what He said was this. Don't minimize what's going to happen to you. He said, I'm going to help you with the burdens. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to carry the load, the half the load for you, and I'm going to help you. And He says, you know, I want to do it for you. You know what He said? He said, I'm not going to give you a rule book to follow. I'm going to give you a whole set of rules and burden you. He said, in fact, you're going to get some freedom through me. You're going to walk with me. He said, I am humble and gentle, and I will help you. He said, I got broad shoulders. The burden you got, together we can get through that. Together I will direct you and help you and move you in that direction. How can Jesus do that? The reason He can do that is He died on the cross for us. He's our Lord and Savior, and He's the one that can make it happen. And why? Because of God's grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
One of the things that Jesus asked us to do was not to remember his birth. That's not the whole focus. He says, I want you to remember what I did upon the cross for you. And tonight, if you're a believer, we invite you to partake of communion in unison. At this time, they're going to pass out the bread. Would you hold it and I'll tell you what to do? In your hand tonight, you hold a piece of bread that represents the body of Christ. Did you know that he walked to the face of the earth just like we did? He knows what it is to be human. He knows what it is to struggle. But Jesus says, this is my body. I'd like to read from Paul's words. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us partake. Hand, you hold a cup which represents the blood of Christ. It represents the fact is that because of his death on the cross, his blood shed, our sins are forgiven. We have a right relationship with the Father. May we partake. Will you bow with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you And Father, I thank you for this night, and we celebrate your birth, but most important, Father, we celebrate the salvation that you provided for us in our life. Thank you, Jesus, for walking the face of the earth as we walked. And Father, for giving your life as a sacrifice for us. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to encourage you to accept the fact that God offers a lot of things to you. And one of the things that we kind of remember is we have things to remind us of different commitments that we make in our life. And I want you to just think about your life for just a moment. And what is it that you want to change? What is it that God is calling you to change? What is it that commitment you're going to make? We're going to light a candle that represents a commitment in your life. And we're going to do it in a special way. And we're going to start. And if you will, I'll ask each person to come. These are good times to share with family and friends and to be in the face of God. And I just thank you for coming tonight. I'd like to close with a prayer, if you will stand at this time, that Moses, that God said to Moses to say to the people, Hebrew people, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Let's sing Silent Night together. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Thank you. God bless you.